Good morning. Okay, this is so epic, right? Roland is amazing. Hey, welcome. Glad you're here. We have people joining us because we are live streaming this service. So let's make some noise for them. Can we do that? Can we say hello? Welcome. Welcome, friends. Welcome, you guys. It's a great, great morning. Great weather. Love this season. This past week, I was in a conversation, and I was being introduced to someone, and this other person that I was being introduced to was like a pastor, because I was at a conference, but this pastor was one of those guys that, I don't know if you can relate, but one of those pastors that just kind of looked like a pastor, like, you know what I'm saying, this guy was just, I was like, you could be my pastor, like, I want a pastor, you know, and the way he talked, I could listen to him all day. I mean, he was dressed to the nines. He was just one of those guys, you know, like opposite of me. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was the opposite. And so he was saying, oh, it's so good to see you, meet you. Finally, I've heard a lot about you. And he said some really nice things. And then he said, you know, I truly believe that the work you're doing with your church, your mosaic, is so proleptic. And so thank you, you know, so, yeah. And so as he said that, I went, yeah, 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 proleptic. That's what I thought. I had no idea what he was talking about. Anybody know what that word means? Someone tell me what that word means. Because he just gave me a compliment. I was like, yeah, I am all day, every day. And so I had a choice. I could have just kept on going, right? Which some of you guys do, right? We all do this, right? You hear something, someone says something, you're just like, yeah, so true. You know, you pretend to know what they're saying, right? So and then I thought, you know what? I cannot do this. I cannot take credit for a compliment that I don't even understand. So I said, that's wonderful, but I have no idea what that word means. And he was kind of shocked. He was like, oh, you know, and he said, oh, what it means is, and he described the word to me. It actually means like a pioneering. It means like prophetic in one sense, like doing things in the present that should, that you're basically creating a future, like the future that should be, you're actually doing it right now. And I was like, that is so me. Like, I just learned a new word, and that's awesome. But it's funny because, like, I think sometimes you don't even, you've been in conversations and people say some things and you're like, no idea what they're saying. But did you also know that you're saying a lot of things that you might not know you're saying? The big idea this morning is really about what we are saying with the way we're living. So if you've just joined us, if you've, this is your first time, you just got invited, glad you're here. If you're a guest, welcome. We are in a conversation, and we started this conversation. It's called Empire, the Series. It's a book, it's a series about the book of Romans, and it's a letter that we've been kind of going through chapter by chapter, and we're in the last installment. I mean, this is it, people, this is it, right? And we're starting a brand new series next week called Glow. You saw the promo for that, but this chapter really talks about and asks the big question, hey, what are you saying by the way you're living? Like, what are you saying? Because we're all saying some things. I mean, you guys have heard this, right? 80% of communication is what? Yeah, non-verbal, as in body language. You can say a lot by the way you carry yourself, how interested you are. You can say a lot. In fact, I was reading some articles on just your eyes. I mean, your eyes say so much. In fact, if you are in a conversation and you're attracted to that person, you are going to blink a whole lot more. Yeah. Not wink, wink, like, hey, hey, hey. No, not that. That's just weird. That doesn't work. Okay, you got no game there. Okay, but you're just going to do that. In fact, your eye, your pupils will contract and dilate either way based on how interested you are. Like, you can actually have a conversation with someone, and if they love what you're saying, if they're interested in what you're saying, their eyes will tell you. And as soon as you go off on a different topic, their eyes will tell you, I am bored. I'm about to leave this conversation. I have no idea what you're saying. We do and say a lot of things. In fact, here's what's interesting. If I asked you, hey, to recall a memory, your body language, on average, most people will do this. If I say, hey, do you remember? You'll do this. you know what? Yeah. You'll always go like this. You'll always go low left. But if I say, hey, we need a big idea. We need a creative idea. This is green light thinking, people, blue ocean. We can do whatever. The first thing you'll do, body language, you'll go like this. You know what? You'll go upright. It is the weirdest thing. We do this. We don't even know sometimes that we're saying a lot just by the way we are acting. And you're saying a whole lot by the way you are living. And so this morning, Paul says, hey, as I end this letter, I just want you to kind of understand the power of the way, the life you live. Because Paul was concerned about this one big thing, right? And if you've been tracking with us, you know the context and how we're ending this conversation. And Paul's talking to believers. He's talking to, this letter was not to like people who don't believe or don't call themselves Christians. It was to the church there. He'd never been there. He's dictating it. Another guy is writing this down. He thought this might be his last letter. He's thinking, I got to put a lot of stuff down. That's why Romans is just full of, I mean, it's intense, it's potent. There's a lot to Romans. But when he starts off with a big theme, and he kind of ends with a big theme that's very similar. He's concerned about basically the life, the way believers are living in the context in Rome. He's concerned about that, and he wants to speak into that. And he's really concerned because he's convinced that there is a problem. And he's convinced that, number one, he knows that the way you live says a lot about who you are. But he was also convinced that the way the life we live describes the God we serve. And so as he closes this, he really wants to make a point for people to understand, hey, I just want you to know this, that like that the way you live says a lot about the God you serve. And he was speaking into a polytheistic culture. I mean, they believed in different gods. And he's talking about this one God, and he spends this whole letter talking about it. And as he concludes, he's basically making this one big point. Hey, the life you live describes the God you serve. The life you live describes the God you live. The life you live illustrates who you worship. You become who you worship. The way you act says so many things about God. The way you treat people says so many things about God. What you do, say, don't do, all of those things communicate the God you serve. And so he ends with that big thought. And so this morning, as we conclude his letter, that's like the big question. What are you saying? What are we saying by the life we are living? That's the question. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you kind of four questions to kind of think through, okay? So this talk, I would say it's not going to be one of those that, you know, you come in and you're like, hey, listen, come to Mosaic, man. This is going to be awesome. You're going to get pumped. You are going to get pumped as you leave, no doubt. It's not going to be a drag, for sure. But this conversation is going to be more like a doctor's appointment. How many like those? You're like, yes, that's awesome. And you're like, today, really? This person finally came. Really? No, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. But it's going to be one of those like, hey, let me ask you some tough questions. Let me ask myself some tough questions. First question is this. How do you treat people? So basically the question is, how we treat others, okay, says a lot about the life we live, says a lot about the God we serve. How do you treat others? Now, Romans chapter 15, so we'll do 15 and 16, so chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, let me read those to you and I'll explain why I'm reading just those verses. He starts off and he says, may God who gives this patience and encouragement help you live in complete, what's that word? In complete what? Say it out loud. In what? Harmony. Say it all together in harmony.
Harmony.
Nice. That was beautiful. Okay. With each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean? Well, if you read the chapter, he starts off really practical in the beginning. He says, "Hey, listen, if you are strong in your faith, you have to make allowance for people who are not strong in their faith. You have to." He's basically in the front half and the back half of this. He's talking really practically about how you need to treat other people in the church, outside the church. That's how he's talking about. But the verses I read are very interesting. The reason why he chooses those words, this idea of harmony and this idea of voice. Have you ever been, let me ask you this, okay? Have you ever been in a crowd, okay? Maybe in a concert, maybe at church, maybe at Mosaic, but don't point. And someone, like it's during worship, like during singing, and someone is singing a little louder and a little off key, and it's distracting you. And have you ever experienced that? Again, it doesn't have to be here. It's never here. Right? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how annoying is it? This crowd right here. 1 to 10. 7? 7, that's good. First service, that section was a 10. 10 being the worst. It was super annoying. Okay, what about this section right here? 9? 12. Okay. All right. Okay, this section last service was like really grace-filled, so that's what happens here. 5, 8. You guys want to talk about it? Okay, yeah. It is a little annoying. It's distracting, to say the least. Of course it is. Of course it is, right? Because it is so easy for some of us to get caught in the moment. I mean, the truth is, if there's a song, you love it, it's your jam. Guess what? It doesn't matter if you can sing, if you don't even know the entire song. You're singing it. And you don't care. Because in that moment is for you and the song. Right? We've all done that. We've been a part of that. Of course we have. Well, Paul says, hey, I get that. I understand. I understand that life sometimes is about all about your moments, because you create moments and those become your life. But there is something about understanding that every moment in life is not about you. That moments in life are actually about something bigger than you. It's not just about you, it's about what you're a part of. And so when Paul talks about this idea of harmony, he says, hey, here's what I want you to understand. I can give you practical, super practical things on how you should treat people and all that, and how you should love people and give them grace and not be judgmental and don't be prejudiced. He said, I can say all of that, but I want to give you a word picture. I want you to understand, have you ever been in a moment where it's all about your moment and you're singing out loud and you're doing your thing? Yeah, that's wonderful, but that moment becomes all about you and not about everybody else around you. He said you could be in danger of living that kind of life when you're so caught up in your dreams and your goals and your family, and it's your and the way you treat people is basically, I don't care, I'm not, you know, you can get over it, I'm going to be louder, whatever, I'm going to do me, you do you, boo. You're like, I'm just going to do what I do. The problem is this. He says, if you do this, you don't realize that you're part of something bigger. You see, your life is creating or is not creating a harmony that translates into one voice that tells everybody else about who I am. And he's saying, if the church is all about individuals focusing on their entire moment and treating others as, I don't care, it's going to be noise. It's not a voice. And so that's why we find ourselves in this culture right now, where the world is kind of looking at us, going, you know, looking at the church and going, all we hear is noise. We don't hear anything you're saying because you're not in harmony. You don't treat people and each other well. That's why Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples by the way you treat each other. And so Paul's saying, hey, don't be that guy. Don't be that woman in the crowd. Oh, singing. It's so sincere, and it's so wrong. Because you're part of something that's so much bigger. Understand, how do you treat others? Second, the second thing he says is, he says, what we focus on, what do you focus on? Says a lot about the way you're living and the God you serve. What you focus on. Romans 15, 14, he says this. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this verse, I'm reading it because I want you to understand this. This is one of those verses that is so void of Paul's personality, and not personality, but his own agenda. And what I mean by that is it's really a prayer about other people. It's about, hey, the confident God's hope in you. I'm praying for you. I hope joy and peace for you. And what he's really getting to is he's pointing to the fact that most of us, especially when you get more and more spiritual, and you don't even know you're doing this. It's like body language. You don't even know you're doing this. You can. Is that a bird? I don't know what that is. Okay, I'm going to keep going. All right. So, yeah, I'm going to just keep on going. So, we can do this. We can do this. You have no idea what you're talking about. Anyways, so what he's saying here is he's saying you can be so focused when you're so spiritual to make your prayers really about you. Because what he's talking really about is that what you focus on can easily be masked by who you're focused on. For example, like I was talking to someone recently, and they were talking about what's going on in my life, and so I was telling them what's going on and all that, and talking about this and this and this and this and the church and this and book and da 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 da. I'm just saying a lot. And at the end of the conversation, I thought, I didn't think this. I think I heard, obviously, the Holy Spirit say something to me, and I said, "Wow, all of those things that you're doing, you're focused on this season of your life. It's really all about you, isn't it?" I thought, what? And then as I started thinking about it, the what I was focused on was really pointing to the who I was focused on. It was about my stuff. See, some of us, we come here in the mornings and on Sunday morning, and you don't even realize you're doing this, but you're coming here for your peace, like for your satisfaction, for a word for you, and your calling and your promise and your, and it's really about you. And I love it. I love that we have entrepreneurs here. I love the fact that we have proleptic people here, and I love the fact that we have entrepreneurs, and I love that this place and this space, this community, is a refuge for so many. It's an incubator of hopes and dreams. I love all of that, and I'm glad you come here for that. But you have to understand that at some point, you have to stop and go, okay, all of these things are really about me. And what you have to understand more than anything else is when you read the scriptures written to a people, and Paul was fully convinced that this story that we're a part of is the story of God, and it's the story of you and me, but really, it's the story of us. Not the show, but it's the story of us. That's the big point here. And he says, I need you to understand that and remember that. Here's a very easy way, and this is super convicting. That's why I said it's going to be feel like a doctor's visit. It's going to be a little tough. Just recall this past week, all the things you prayed about. What you pray about is what you really care about. I mean, don't ask me what I prayed about, but I'm saying it's tough. Because you can say you care about a lot of things, but what you really pray about is what you really care about. And he goes, hey, who you focused on? It says so much about the life you're living. Number three, who we celebrate says so much about who we are, the life we live, the God we serve, who we celebrate and choose not to celebrate. Who we celebrate. Now, I don't know if you know this. I mean, any parents in the house? Any parents? You got some parents in the house? You know this, right? Whatever you tolerate, you create. You're like, I didn't know that. Yeah, write that down. Write that down. Whatever you tolerate, you create. So if you created a monster, you tolerate that monster for a long, long time. It happens in cultures, in an organization, in business, whatever. Whatever you tolerate, the culture you tolerate, the behavior you tolerate, it creates the culture. In fact, if you want to dumb this down, if you're a leadership guy, if you're a business person, if you have your own business, let me just tell you, the culture of your company, your organization, your small group, your church, whatever, is not created by fancy sayings that you think are cool and repeating them again and t-shirts and slogans that you see and teamwork and blah, blah, blah. And this, it is not. Culture, when you boil it all down, is created by the behavior of the people who are leading it. Nothing else. You can say anything you want to, but a culture of an organization, a culture of a church, is directly connected to the behavior of its leaders. If you don't like the culture of your family, sweetheart, you created it. I know, it's a tough one. You did it because it's always created by the leaders, not by other people, by the leaders, whatever you tolerate. And so Paul here is saying, hey, by the way, what you celebrate, creates the culture too. What you celebrate says something more. What you celebrate shows what you really value. Not what you say you value, not what you say you think you should value, not like, oh, we should be. No. Whatever you celebrate, you truly value. And whatever you really value, you celebrate. You celebrate. Whatever you get excited about, that has your heart. Whatever you get pumped about, that has your heart. And he goes, hey, who do you celebrate? So Paul here does something that's revolutionary. Revolution. I mean, you might think, oh, it's not a big deal. It is a big stinking deal here. So this is, we switch to chapter 16, okay? So chapter 16, he starts off, this is his last thing, right? Now, chapter 16 is full of like random things, but it's also full of like shout outs and things like that, okay? He starts off and he says this, I commended to you our sister who? Phoebe, who is a what? A what? In the church. She's a what in the church? That's just unbiblical. I know it's in the Bible, but that should be unbiblical, right? This is Paul saying, oh, by the way, I just want to say that Phoebe is a deacon in the church, a church that I can't pronounce. And he says, welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially to me. Friends, I mean, in this culture, because we have a diverse group of people here and you have different backgrounds of church history, there's a whole kind of like, hey, women should not be in leadership, women should be in leadership. I know people that don't go to Mosaic now because they're not comfortable with the amount of women on stage here who speak, lead, all that. Okay? Again, there's so many other churches out there, right, that you can go to. But we, right, celebrate because we value and we understand that when Jesus says, hey, there's no male or female, there's no slave or free, There's no Jew or Gentile in Christ. It is complete. Paul is saying, let me just tell you, you need to honor and help, as in follow, this woman. And friends, church history tells us, in starting in Jesus' times, you can go look at historians and their writings. Do you know the 3 years of Jesus' ministry was funded by women? By women. You will think, what? Where? How did he travel? Who paid all his expenses? The dudes with him? On the side, go get some fish? Someone was fronting this. And they link it back to women who were in charge of estates that were actually funding it. Here's another interesting thing, though. Interesting thing is that in that culture, it's because it's connected to the culture I grew up in. It's so sad because in like the court of law, in some countries, even today, a woman's testimony is not equal to a male's. You need two women to equal one male. And here, Paul starts off and saying, hey, this person's a deacon in the church, remember her, honor her, take her leadership, do all that. He is saying, value, and I'm celebrating this because this is what we do. This is what should happen. What's crazy, though, is that we have taken pagan views of people in leadership and allowed them in the church of Jesus. This, hey, based on this, you can't be, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. He's addressing pagan ideas because that pagan world was a very much a male-centric world. When you think of the gods, it's Zeus, and it's all the other famous ones. I mean, of course there's some women out there, but he is saying something that's really interesting. He's saying, hey, I need you to understand something. You got to be careful not allowing certain things to creep in. In fact, he goes and actually says it. He says, and now, verse 17 and 18, he says, and now I want to make one more appeal. Dear brothers and sisters, watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. He's saying, hey, I need you to understand something. Just because someone is successful doesn't mean that they are real and true. Just because they seem like they're popular, and because a lot of people are convinced, that doesn't mean that they are from me at all. He says, be careful who you celebrate, who you're attracted to, who you're attracted to. Now, this is a big conversation, isn't it? Because I can say, okay, well, what about, well, Paul says and this, that I don't allow this and this and this. This is not that conversation. But I want you to understand something. What you celebrate and what you don't celebrate, man, it says so much about the life you live and who you believe in. Now, last one. You guys ready for the last one? You're like, yes, we are. Oh my gosh, we are so ready for this last one. Okay, last one, okay? Why we give. Why we give, okay? So let me just review. Okay, so it's about how we treat others. It's about what we focus on, who we celebrate, and why we give. Why we give. So why we give in financially, why we give our service, why we give our time. You got to know why you do what you do. So recently, my brothers and I were talking, and it's been a conversation that's been going on for a while, and especially with my younger brother. So I have two brothers, Ali and Mahmoud, okay? We call him Moody because it's just easier, okay? So we've been talking about this tattoo idea. I don't know if you're cool with tattoos, but I'll just, Someone got excited. Yeah. So, because my dad passed away beginning of the year, this year, and so we were like, you know what? We just had this idea, like, all the brothers would just get a tattoo that signifies him. You know, we thought, you know, let's just put dad's name. You know, and it's just one of those things, kind of remember him by. So that was a great idea. The problem is, we cannot agree on my dad's name. We can't agree on my dad's name. Because here's the problem, okay? In my culture, my dad's name is Muhammad Fazl Rahim Ali. I would just want Fazl. Because my last name is Fazl, Naeem Fazl, right? I mean, it's Naeem John Fazl, but anyways, we won't get into that. You're like, John? No, it means something else. It's not Jan. Anyways, okay, relax. So I'm like, I want Fazl. My brother's like, no, Rahim Ali. I'm like, Rahim Ali? No one called him Rahim Ali. He's like, no, it needs to be Rahim Ali. And my older brother's like, well, they used to call him Mr. Fazl. I'm like, no, they didn't call him Mr. Fazl. And then he was like, you know what they really called him? I'm like, what do they really call him? Well, in my culture, this is so weird, okay? It's a culture thing. It's good. Okay, maybe you guys have that in some culture. But so when you have a firstborn son, the father starts being called the name of the son. So my dad's name became Abu Mahmud, father of Mahmud. Seriously. So that's why Mahmud's like, hey, we should put Abu Mahmud. I'm like, no, we shouldn't. No, we shouldn't. Okay, we're sticking to Fazl. Sticking to Fazl. Because in my culture, see, I don't know if you can relate, but in my culture and in other Eastern cultures, there's a sense of that we are connected to everything that we've ever been a part of. And it's not necessarily an individualistic culture. It's more of a corporate culture. And so here, the language we use a whole lot is individual responsibility. When you think of the word, when I say responsibility, you need to take responsibility, you would automatically think, because of the culture we live in, yeah, I got to take responsibility of myself. When we say take responsibility, in this culture, it means you take responsibility of your life. In Paul's time, in my culture, even now, when they say take responsibility, they don't mean you. They mean corporate responsibility. They mean, hey, represent us. Hey, live your life connected to us. You don't stand on your own two feet. You stand on the shoulders of people who have stood and made a way for you. And you have to make a way for other people. This is so important, because why we give our service, our money, has to be settled that we don't give because you want to feel good and you want to get a blessing and you want brownie points. We give because there is a bigger story. This is the story of us, and you're a part of it. Now, I get it. This is a very hard concept for us to understand. But this concept is a very important one, because you are going to misread most of the promises of God. For example, I'll read you one. This is awesome. This is one of those promises that some of you might even have tattooed on your body. Okay? Romans 16:20. And it says this: the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. How many of you heard that? We love it. Let me give you the translation. He's saying, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under y'all's feet. If you're Southern, if you're up North, he says, under you guys' feet. The point is, he doesn't mean you. He doesn't mean you. He doesn't mean you. He means us. Most of the scriptures are written to an oppressed people. An oppressed people, not me, a pretty resourced individual. No, an oppressed people. Most of Scripture. And for so long, friends, we've taken Scripture, promises of God, and said, God, make it true. Crush Satan under my feet. And he's going, I never said that. Like, I never said that. And you're waiting around. It's like, I never said that. I meant you guys. I meant y'all. I meant when you're in harmony and you become one voice. I meant the church. And by the way, I also mean that if you live the life that truly reflects the God you serve, this whole crushing Satan thing will happen. That's what I mean. See, the crushing Satan thing is not, hey, wait and see, just wait for it, wait for it. It's not. It's not. It's more like do and see. Do it. See, this is, as we wrap up this chapter, I mean, there's so much I left out. There's so many things that we can talk about. I hope our small groups have been really helpful to you, those of you who joined us. I hope if you are interested in learning and seeing kind of like what God has done and what Paul is trying to say with this series, that you go back and you can watch them. They're on podcast or YouTube. But as we leave, though, you have to understand. You have to get this. This is really about us. This is not about you and me. It is about us. It's about us. And when you and I realize that we are part of something that's so much bigger, wow, we understand what God is really doing and why we, in this moment in history, are so important. So let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you for us. Thank you for your promises over us. God, remind us once again why we give. Why do people here give sacrificially? They tithe, they give over and above. They give, Lord, even though they have need, they give. Because they understand that they're part of something so much bigger. They're part of a bigger story. God, thank you for those of us who give of our time, our emotion, our prayers. God, thank you that, again, it reminds us of how much, God, we are part of something that there's so much power in us versus me and you. Father, I pray that as people are thinking through even some of the things you're speaking to them, I pray for a commitment. Then they might say, you know what, today is one of those things I just need to commit to us. This thought of being a part of something bigger. And so this morning, I want to just say, Jesus, I want to be a part of that. So God, if that's a person here, then today is the day that they make this commitment, that they say, Jesus, come into my life. I trust in you. I want to be a part of what you're doing in human history. God, I pray that you would hear, respond, and fill them. God, I pray as we receive communion, light candles, go to the cross, sing, we would be one voice, choosing to be in harmony with each other. God, we love you. Let's stand together.